keep hearing breaking strongholds and yokes. I just keep hearing breaking strongholds and yokes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So just, if you have anything that you're just dealing with, that you've just been believing the Lord for just breaking yokes, so just stand up and let's give a last shout out to the Lord. Just stand up, and I believe His presence is here. I know His presence is here. And for all of us, just stand up and just, I believe, Lord, we just thank You that Your presence is here. We just welcome Your presence in here, Lord. Break strongholds, break yokes that have held people in captivity and bondage, Lord. We don't even need to understand all that it is, Lord. Your presence is here, and we just lift up our voices to You in Jesus' name. So holy, 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 just worship the Lord. Let's just say one, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, that You are here. Have Your way in this place. Break yokes, bondages, generational mindsets, Lord. Just break them off. We thank You, Lord, that by the power of Your Spirit, You break them off of families, and even families that are represented here, Lord. We just break, they are broken off in the name of Jesus. Torment, depression, oppression, all that broken off in the name of Jesus. Lies, deception, broken off. Illness, sickness, disease, broken off. Broken off in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Areas of bondages of sin, broken off in Jesus' name. Sexual sin, broken off in Jesus' name. Purity just rules and reigns in here in Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for freedom, Lord. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. Ah, I just see Him standing in the middle, and He's like, "You are my people. I am your shepherd, and I care for my sheep. I watch over my sheep. I protect my sheep," He says. "I watch over my sheep. I protect my sheep. I care for my sheep." Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
When I was standing back there, I kept hearing the word rejoice. When Giselle was praying, I heard dance. And I just keep hearing the word rejoice. I think God is trying to tell us, with everything going on, we need to rejoice. We need to dance. We need to shake this off. We just need to get... It's no time to be slack. Shake it off.
This is a word from the Lord. On the way into church this morning, I was listening to a song by Paul Baloche called "This is the Day You Have Made. We Will Rejoice and Be Glad in It." Hallelujah! You hear him, Claudia? Thank You, Lord. Let us rejoice in the Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for all He has done.
Just a few minutes ago, right when Pastor Melissa was just saying, you know, we just raise up and just start, you know, praising the Lord, what he was impressing upon me, what I saw was, the Lord was saying, don't you see, can't you see the enemy scattering? See, can't you see that they're trying to stop the ears of my people? And I saw the mighty arm of God on stopping the ears of the people in here, and I saw the enemy was afraid. And the enemy was leaving this place, not to return. Listen, people, the enemy is terrified of what this church can do. The enemy is terrified of the fact that the Holy Spirit resides here. The enemy is terrified that now our ears are open to truth. And the fact that as we speak it out in praise and in worship, he's terrified. He trembles at the very voice of God. He trembles at the voice that we're worshiping in this moment and raising up the name of Jesus, because he can't stand in the midst of Jesus Christ. And in this place, that's who resides here. And the enemy has to flee. He has to leave. If there's anything in your lives right now that you've been bound by, the enemy has to leave. He's gone. You're free. It's broken. In the name of Jesus, it's broken. There is nothing more powerful than Jesus Christ and his word. And his word today is this church's foundation. And this church's stand is the word. And it will never depart from us, because we hard it in our hearts and the love of God resides inside of us.
And I just keep hearing, like, almost like this song that says, that's just, as we stay still before you today, let your presence cut it all away. Lord. So I just release that over everybody in here, that the Lord does surgery as we stay still, because he's the one who cuts it all away. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Just thank you for your presence. This is what we come together, Lord. We come for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what other people do for church, but I love our church. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just know you're still here. You're still, and just walk through the aisles, do surgery, have your way. We just yield to you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Amen. So, today is a Vision Sunday. We do this once a year, for a couple reasons. One, I just think it's important for all of us to kind of re-look at what is the vision for this church. You know, it's so easy to just go Sunday to Sunday and Sunday and then kind of lose track of what is the vision. So I always just use this time to go over what is the vision for the church, and to make sure we're all focused in the same direction. And then I like to just review the past year, because a lot of times we don't realize how much has happened in a year. again, you just go week to week to week. And so it's just good to kind of recap what has God done in this past year. And then to just look at where we're going. What does the Lord have for us in 2021? And so that's what we're going to do today. So the next slide is just what is our mission and vision? And I do a lot of this in the new member class. But first of all, encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. That, like, whatever we do falls in one of those three buckets, right? We want to bring people to a place where they encounter Him. Because if you don't encounter Christ, then there's nothing to, what do you live for? So we want people to just have an encounter with Him. And again, it should be a daily thing, I encountered Jesus 3 years ago, but that hopefully you got up this morning and you encountered Him in some way, right? So it's a living relationship. And then know Christ is to come to a place of a deeper knowledge of who He is, growing in intimacy, growing in your relationship with Him. And from those two things, from encountering Him, from coming to know Him, we then live Christ. And so then from that place, we influence the world around us. That's kind of our foundation. And then just what we want to cultivate within our church is, first of all, a kingdom culture. We talk about that a lot, that, you know, Christianity isn't a religion. If you've been here any length of time, you know I say that all the time. We're not a religion. We're the reality of the kingdom of God here on earth. We are in a spiritual kingdom. The world is the world, but we are not of this world. We are in a spiritual kingdom called the kingdom of God. We carry that kingdom within us and around us everywhere we go. And so it's understanding. So now that you've come into a new kingdom, it's almost like, you know, if you lived in America, but then moved to England, like, you'd need to learn how they drive, they drive on a different side of road in England, right? You need to learn how England operates. And so it's the same thing. When we get born again, we come into the kingdom of God. And so we need to understand the culture of the kingdom. How do things operate in the kingdom so that I can participate in it properly? And from that, the fivefold ministry that within the kingdom, Jesus established a fivefold ministry, which is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so as we continue to grow the church, we want to see those different fivefold giftings operating in the church. Now, it's not for me to decide what people are. It's basically to see, as God reveals people with those different offices and stuff, we don't decide, we discover as we come together what different people's giftings are. But that is the way Jesus set up the body, is that a fivefold ministry would operate within the church. And so even as a church like we are, we also stay in touch with apostles and prophets that we feel the Lord has connected us with, so that we can kind of get a feel for where God is going in a year. So we keep that in mind. We want to be present-centered. You had a sample of that this morning. Right? We come together for the presence of God. It's not, I mean, yes, it's great if we have a great sermon and great worship, but we are here for the presence of God. That's why we come together. And we want to worship in spirit and truth. We don't just want to have a song service. And we saw that today, right? We're not here just to do a song service. We're here to worship in spirit and truth. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit operating in the body of Christ, right? All the gifts operating. And then to come here every Sunday expecting the miraculous. Why? Because we're the kingdom of God. And where Jesus is, where the kingdom of God is, miracles happen. And so that's the culture we want to come in here and allow, like we did this morning. You can feel the presence of God, and we need to let it roll. It's not about our agenda. We want to submit to His agenda, because His agenda is far greater than our agenda, I can assure you, right? So we have like a kind of an agenda for the service, but it's always Jesus, it's always the Holy Spirit who can trump that. And we want to see, you know, people operating in different gifts of the Spirit. We want to see prophetic words coming forth, tongues, all those things. And we want to expect the miraculous. Every time we get together, we should expect the miraculous to happen, because the kingdom of God is here. And the miraculous can be, you know, someone getting healed or whatever, but it also can be just the changes that happen in our hearts as we come closer to God, right? As we have a deeper understanding. And we are the body of Christ. So here within the church, you know, we all, God has called us together as a body, and each one of us plays an important part as a body of Christ. And one person might be the finger, one person's a thumb, you know, whatever, an elbow. So we as a body, that's why I tell people it's important if you're here, because you are a part of the body. And if you're not here, like, we're missing part of the body. But we also plug into a greater body, which is the body of Christ worldwide. And we play a specific role here as a church. And so it's important for us to be authentic to what God has called this church to. You know, we're not here. I was listening to somebody the other day. It's like, we're not here for numbers, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We're here to be authentic to what God has called us to. We are a family of God. That's why it's so important for us to build relationships with each other. We want to have a family relationship, that we do life together. We get to know each other. We work through conflict together, right? That is, we're a family of God, and we're part of the greater family. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in our lives. And we want all of these things to be in the children and youth ministry as well, because the children have giftings and callings and all of that in them. They get born again. They have the Spirit of God inside of them. They can operate in the miraculous. In fact, a lot of times children get better results than adults do when it comes to praying with people, because they don't have all the stuff. So we want to see our children and youth operating the fullness of that. And of course, eventually we want to see a building, and we'd love to have a discipleship center, where you can see all the stuff we already offer, but as we continue to grow, to be able to have a discipleship center. And I believe that all of you are here for such a time as this, because God is going to do great things, and He is positioning all of you to be a part of what God's doing. Several years ago, Randy and I were at a director's meeting at Karis Bible College, the Karis director's meeting, and Andrew actually called the two of us up front at the beginning of the meeting, and he said as he was driving in to the meeting that morning, he had been thinking about us, and the Lord had spoken to him and told him, because at the time we were very active in the homeless ministry, and the Lord spoke to him, and so Andrew brought us up front to convey to us what the Lord said, and the Lord said that it was true that Randy and I had a very strong mercy and gift of compassion, but if we didn't raise up leaders, we would never fulfill the call of God in our life. And so if you're a part of this church, and that's one of the reasons why we kind of let go of the homeless ministry, because the fruit wasn't there. The fruit was in the church. And so if you're a part of what God's doing here, it's because God's called you, and He wants to raise you up as a leader, because that's very strongly in our hearts, is to raise up leaders. And, you know, leaders, I talk about it, you know, that we're not interested in making an octopus, you know, not having a bunch of Kingdom Life churches around the world, around the country. What we're interested is raising people up into what they're called to. And if you're called to be a pastor and the Lord says to go to Connecticut, well then, you know, we help you and support you, and you go to Connecticut and you start your own church with its own name and your own bylaws and your old organization, right? It's not about you being a Kingdom Life Church International up in Connecticut. It's about you doing what God's called you to do with the vision that God has given you for that church. So we're not interested in having a big organization. We're interested in having really big people. Okay? If God makes it a big organization, that's fine, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to have really big people who walk in the fullness of what they're called to individually. And you might be called to this church forever to be a part of what God's doing, and that's awesome, but you might be called here for a season, and then God may plant you somewhere else, and that's okay too, because it's not about us, it's about the kingdom. You know, the Lord spoke to me years ago when we first started the church, and He said, because, you know, people are like, oh, how many people are coming to your church? And I don't know. I mean, but the Lord said to me, Melissa, if you take them deeper, I'll make it wider. So it's all about depth. It's not, he takes care of this. We go this. This is the way we go. We go deeper in Him. We come deeper understanding of who He is. And then he'll make it wider as He makes it wider. That's up to Him. Jesus is the one who adds to the church, right? The other thing is, people will say, well, is your church successful? This is the way we determine whether or not our church is successful. If you knew Jesus at the end of 2020 better than you did at the beginning of 2020, and our church had any part in that, then this church has been successful. Amen. That's it. It's that simple. It's not numbers, it's not buildings, it's not any of that. It's whether or not you know Jesus better at the end of the year than you did at the beginning of the year. If that is, we can check it off. We have been successful. Because that is all about coming to know him. That's the bottom line. Let's see here. Okay, so we can go to the next thing. So what are our values and culture? We talked a little bit about this, but just this is the culture that we want to have, the values we want to have here within the church. We want to be Christ and presence-centered. We want to protect and value relationships. You know, it's really important as we do life together. You know, there's going to be opportunities to be offended. Right? We're people, and we may not mean to, but we do. And so sometimes it's just, but we work through the conflicts, right? We don't just disconnect and run off into separate corners. Like if there's stuff that happens, that the relationships that we have here are important, and we do what we can to keep the relationships intact and sustain, because the enemy will try to divide. That is the one way he can come in and really bring a church down, is if he can cause discord and strife. And so we must guard our hearts against that. So we want to have, obviously, love and honor, integrity, transparency. This is big for us, is that we want people to be able to be real about where they're at so that we can help you wherever you're at, right? If you don't feel safe, we have safety here. If you don't feel safe in a place, then you can't open up your heart. And we want a place where you can open up your heart and talk about what's really going on. It's all important that all of us have humility. Authenticity is important. We all can be authentic. Open dialogue. That we all remain teachable. The minute you say, I know that, you have stepped into a spirit of religion and you have closed yourself off from learning. So we don't say, I know that. empowerment. We want to see people empowered, again, because we're raising up leaders. That everybody takes personal responsibility for their own actions and their own relationship with the Lord, and we live intentionally. Right, each one of us has a responsibility for our personal lives and how we choose to live them, and that we live with intention. We want to be responsive, not reactive. Jesus never reacted to the circumstances and people around him. He responded out of his relationship with the Father. And we want to come to a place, again, we're all on a journey in this, but that we respond from our relationship with Jesus. We're not just reacting to things that happen to us. We want to have servant hearts, operate in excellence, and of course be community-minded as far as reaching out into the community. That's living Christ. Okay, so the next thing, from a church standpoint, I am required every year to go over this for our insurance. So a couple things. One, we have a sexual harassment policy in our church. I'm required to go over that with you, but for our, like I said, our church insurance. And basically, we don't tolerate sexual harassment, so don't do it. Okay? And if that, something like that happens, of course, and people have an issue with that, we'll counsel you, we'll help you, we'll help you grow through that. But it's just, we want to be respectful of each other, right? So, and then the second thing is child safety. So to remember to never be alone with a child. Okay? You should never be alone with a child. No kisses. Unless you're directly related to a child, you should not be kissing that child. Okay? And this is to protect the child, but it's also to protect you. You know, our church has child safety training, and we require every volunteer to go through that because we want, it's normally a church just has the people in children's church take the child safety class. And what it does is it teaches you how to see someone who might have wrong motives towards a child. Okay? That's what the training is for. And so, but we have all of our volunteers take that training. Why? Because it's important, even out here in the sanctuary, not just in children's church, to be able to see if someone has wrong motives to our child. Now, I know that's not an issue right now, but as we grow, it might be an issue. And people come and don't have the right hearts. Even if you look at when we had the children dedication service, we did not put that on live stream. Why? Because we want to protect our children. Okay, we don't put pictures of our children up on Facebook or on our website. Why? Because we want to protect our children. So these rules are to protect our children, but also to protect you from anyone making a false accusation. So again, you don't want to kiss. If you're going to hug a child, you want to do side hugs. I know when they're little, you can hold them, but when they get older, you want to do side hugs. You don't want children sitting in your lap, right? And any kind of gifts. must be given to the parents. You cannot give gifts to a child because that is the way someone with the wrong motives would use to groom a child. So you do not give gifts to children, you give it to the parents. So those are our child safety policies. All to keep our children safe, because that's really important to us. Okay, so we're going to look at 2020, the year in review. So it's really funny, because when 2020 started out, that you can do the next one, it was called, the Lord told us it was the year of the prophetic. And it's really funny, because we got a little bit of flack from people about saying it was the year of the prophetic, but all I can say is we rest our case. Because if you didn't notice, it was the year of the prophetic. And so the things that the Lord told us is that we were going to have 2020 spiritual vision. Well, guess what? A lot of eyes were open this year in 2020. Our eyes were open to what's going on in the world, right? And so we had the opening of eyes. The goal was that we could hear God's voice better. We all wanted to come to a place where we would know him better and be able to hear what he's saying. We learned how to listen to the prophets during this year, right? And of course, deepening intimacy with him, building trusting relationships with each other, and stepping out to engage others. Now, stepping out to engage others got kind of shut down somewhat because of COVID-19. But we're picking that back up, obviously, for 2020, of 2021. But, you know, I believe that we definitely saw this come to pass. So, yeah, 2020 was the year of the prophetic. What were some of the messages that we did in 2020? I taught on the power of kingdom speaking, to worship in spirit and truth, Lord, teach us to pray. I did a call to intercession. The word is our truth. We talked about humanism versus Christianity. How to take the prophetic word and stand in faith, and then I did a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jeremy did a teaching on peace, living fulfilled, desire for discipline, and living from the flow, and Giselle did a teaching on healing last year. So those are the different things we saw. We had a bunch of guest speakers who were going to come. We were going to have Brian Guerin, Arthur Menches, and Brian and Stu Nutman, all of which had to be canceled because of the whole COVID situation. But we were able to have Lee Boyd come from Greensboro and speak to us. So he was our one guest speaker last year. What did we do in 2020? Did you forget these things? But we got a new logo in 2020. We had a new website in 2020. We have a new building. We started live streaming. We started our youth group. We started a foundations class. And we changed worship and release from being every other Sunday to weekly. That's pretty good. That's a lot for 1 year. And like I said, if you didn't take pause and look at it, you forget. But these are all the things that happened in 2020 from a significant standpoint. That's pretty good. And all this in the midst of COVID. Overcomers. We are overcomers. That's right. So in our Kingdom Life study group, we did the basic training for the prophetic ministry by Chris Valentin. We did that because, again, the Lord was talking to us about prophecy. And then we moved on to doing the verse-by-verse Bible study, and the untold story is kind of a commentary that goes with that, but chronologically going through the New Testament from the book of Acts and then the epistles. And so we started doing that this year on our Wednesday night, the Kingdom Life study group. We started the Kingdom Foundations class using the discipleship material from Andrew Womack Ministries. We had the men's retreat. The men did the books Victorious Emotions by Wendy Backlund, The Prophetic Voice of God by Lana Vosser, again because of the year was about prophetic, and There Is More by Randy Clark, which was about revival and impartation. They did fishing and campfire, and then the men's retreat was August 20 through 23rd. And the Philippians 3:10 was the theme, that I may know him, and there were 13 men in attendance. Woohoo! Next year is going to be even greater. And then the women of his presence. We did the books Living from the Unseen by Wendy Backlund, The Prophetic Voice of God by Lana Vosser, and There Is More by Randy Clark. So one of the changes we made this year was to be able to go ahead and stick and have the men and women start doing the same books. And that's been really helpful, especially for married couples, right? But it's good that we're doing the same books because we're on the same page exploring the same things. And we had the women's retreat, again, with the same theme. So we switched things up, too, with the men and women. Is the men and women are doing the same theme for the year and for their retreats. And also, the men are doing it more like the women do it this year, have done it in the years past. And I want to speak about that because the retreats are really, really important. Because this, one of the things is we're called to raise up leaders. And one of the ways we do that is in the retreats. Because, you know, I don't speak, Pastor Randy and Pastor Jeremy are, you know, stepping back. And really, this is an opportunity in the retreats for you to come forward. You organize things. We split you up into small groups. We pick leaders for the groups. And it's, again, to learn how to work together, to work through issues, to come up with ideas as a team, and then have a leader. And then you present. And what you see in the retreats is all the treasures that people have inside of them, the giftings people have, the things that they know. Right? And so that's part of the purpose of the retreat is for us to get to know each other, but also give an opportunity and a platform for people to step out and operate in greater giftings and callings and things like that. So the retreats are really important part of what we're doing here in the church. And so we're really grateful for your attendance. We had 29 women come. Woohoo! Yeah, it's really good. This year we started the Kingdom Parents Group. And they did the book Loving Our Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk, which was great. And then also we did a leadership retreat. And this year we did it a little bit differently. We had, in the past, a couple of years ago, we did a retreat. And it was just Pastor Jeremy, Beth, Randy, and I went away for a few days. And just to get to know each other better and talk about the church. The following year we did a retreat and Amy came with us. So it was the five of us. But this past year when we did the leadership retreat, we had the board of directors and we had our church leadership team together. And again, this is, to us, this is so important because the church, if our leadership is unified, the church will be unified. If the leadership divides, the church will be divided. So it's really important, we feel, to get away and get on, make sure we're on the same page, connect with each other, get to know each other better. And we did the book Culture of Honor, which is by Danny Silk, a really good book about creating a kingdom culture in a church. And doing the book Unpunishable came from this. Because he talks about the unpunishable piece of a church culture. So the book Unpunishable, we decided to do that as a result of doing Culture of Honor together. So that is part of what we do here as a church, to be able to make sure that we're staying together on the same page. We had a church picnic. We used to have a fellowship meal every quarter, but because of COVID, we just did a church picnic. But praise God for Spencer and Morgan. And their nice big home, a nice property that we can go out there. Woohoo! And if you remember Mr. Doug Woods, he was in the church and he's moved on now. But we miss him. So we had our church picnic. Okay, so I want to talk about some transitions and milestones of 2020. First of all, we had 10 people join the church in 2020. Christy Walters, Emily Hampton Jr., David and Paula Stocks, Elizabeth Otutiku, her husband had joined as well, but he passed, Linda Smith, Jerry and Anita Fix, and Don Dempsey and Maureen Costello. Woohoo! So we're grateful for them becoming members of the church. Now, you're going to have a flashback here, but if you remember, we actually had Malachi and Courtney Green in this church, and we did their wedding in the spring. They had become members of the church. We married them, and then they moved to Colorado. and we had other people that moved away, of course, were Doug Woods and Rebecca moved to Florida, right? So we had some other people who moved out. But we did Malachi and Courtney Green's wedding, and they're thriving at Karis Bible College in Colorado. We had additions to the church family this year. We had Amariah Grace, Victoria Comrie joined our came in. Priest King Justilian joined the church family. And Chase Emery Cameron joined the church family. And so we also had we had a child dedication service, which was really wonderful to have here in the church, right? It was just great to have us all together. So that's another milestone. It's really good. And then my father passed last year. And I just want to thank you on behalf of my mom. She's not here because it's raining. I said, only in North Carolina do people not go places because it's raining. But I just want to thank you all for your support. Isn't he a good-looking guy? Just for your support, you know, the cards, the flowers, the gifts you gave, the flowers that showed up at the funeral home in New Jersey. Just really appreciate all the support you gave us through that time. I'm really, really grateful. And I know my mom was really grateful as well. So thank you. Okay, so we're going to go over the financials for 2020. I'd like to do this every year because this is important. We like to do this every year because it's important for you to see where your money is and where it goes. So first of all, if you look, tithes and offerings are 95% of everything that we bring in for the church comes either through here in the church service or comes over the internet through the app. People do donate online. So 95% of everything comes from those avenues. Direct public financial support, 3% of what that is the people who give to this church who don't come here. I just think it's important for you to know that 3% of the income is people who don't come to this church for one reason or another. You know, some of them moved away, who don't live here, or they are locally, but they're just committed to another church, but really believe in what's happening here. And so they donate on a regular monthly basis. They give to this church because they believe in the vision of this church. And so it's important for you to know that. And then 2% is kind of everything else. Like if we have a guest speaker, money that came in through that, benevolence, the building fund, other income and interest is the 2%. So that's all that came in. So we're going to go over the expenses, the 2020 expenses. So I'm going to start up at the top where it says fixed assets, 5%. So 5% of the money that came in this year went towards basically live streaming equipment. Anything you purchase, anything you buy that's worth over $250 becomes a fixed asset of the church. And so that we invested a lot of money in live streaming equipment, and so that was 5% was of the money that we spent went to fixed assets here in the church. 14% went to rent. Which is actually kind of low. Normally, for a healthy church, you can spend more than 14% on rent. A couple things, though. First of all, the first couple of months, we were in Spring Valley, which was the rent is a lot less than here. We had a few months where we didn't have any rent at all, right, because we were closed down. We were over the internet. When we first moved into this building, as a board of directors, when we came in here and felt like this was supposed to be our building, which I believe it is, obviously. Originally, we weren't going to rent this room because this room is more expensive. We were going to rent one of the classrooms, right? But because of COVID, we couldn't fit in the classrooms, so we had to rent this for our church services, which is more expensive than the classrooms. But God has been faithful, right? Because we rent here, we rent for the discipleship class, we rent for the children's church, like every room that we use, we need to pay rent for based on how long we use it. So that all goes into the bucket of rent. And so 14%, God just, you know, God supernaturally just provided for the church so that 14% of the went to 9% went to salaries. This is the first year, 2020 is the first year that anyone's taken salaries from the church. And so Pastor Randy, myself, Pastor Jeremy, and Amy do get a small income from the church. And that was 9% of the income. Professional fees goes to paying an accountant, paying a lawyer, paying a security guard to be out front. That's all professional fees. And that's 2% of our income. Our income was spent on professional fees. Technology would be like computers and things like that. 2% went to that. And then 8% is kind of an administrative other. So that would be like office supplies and just paperwork and things like that. That was 8%. Church expenses was 3%. So that would be things like, you know, like these things. The things that we buy to use here in the church service is what church expenses are. So that was 3%. It's gone. It's not as much because we don't buy coffee all the time now because we don't have coffee and creamer and all that stuff. So it's 3%. Leadership and volunteers is 3%. That would be like the leadership retreat that we went on. What we do for leadership retreat is we rent a VRBO. So we just rent a house and we buy the fixings for food and Pastor Jeremy feeds us. So we. gets early in the morning, makes eggs and bacon and stuff like that. So, but then also things we do for volunteers as well. Books we might buy or gifts that we give out all goes into that bucket. Missions is what we sow into other ministries, like because we want to tithe on our money. So between missions and benevolence, benevolence is when we've helped people out here in the church who had a need. So it comes to 8%, between 6% and 2%. So we're a little bit lower than 10%. But that's when we give out things that we're doing to support things outside of this church. And then ministry other is just a bucket of all little things that kind of fit together. But here's the thing, 43% of what we brought into this church went into savings. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really awesome. And now part of it is because our expenses were a lot lower because of COVID, right? There's things that we just couldn't do that we normally would have spent money on. But praise God, we were able to take 43%, and that's 43% is what we've increased our savings by this year, which is really, really amazing. So to tell you, like, we're in really, really good shape. You know, we're in really good shape as a church. Praise God. And so we're believing for great things for 2021. Okay, so 2021, I want to start off by just talking about who's helping to navigate the ship in 2021, besides Jesus. And first of all is the board of directors. So we had a few additions to our board. If you remember, Doug Woods, and he moved away. So we have Kevin Radigan and Christina Banks who have joined the board. So it was already, myself, Randy, Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Randy, May, and Peggy, which are awesome, 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 awesome. And then we add Kevin Radigan and Christina Banks. So we're excited. We're up to 7 people on a board. That's a good size for what God has for us. So I want to tell you what's the role of the board of directors versus the leadership team. So it's very much like you would see in a corporation. If you have the board of directors of a hospital that you work in or a company that you work at, the board of directors is the one who kind of looks at the financial health of the organization. It looks at kind of an overall direction that you're going to, making sure that staying in compliance from a legal standpoint, accounting. So that's what the board does. So they're kind of the higher level of things. Like when COVID came in last year, normally as a board, we would meet 3, maybe 4 times in a year. But last year we had to meet quite a lot because of the whole COVID situation and how are we going to handle it and how are we going to move forward? So those are things that the board of directors puts in place and decides on. Policies and compliance, things like that. The leadership team is more the hands-on. Like it's when we come into church, it's the, like, Giselle making sure the servers are in place, you know, Pastor Randy working on the sound, Pastor Jeremy working on the sound. So we're kind of the on-ground working people. So that's, and the board of directors just sits around and does nothing. No, I'm just joking. We work, no. So I'm excited about this and what God has for us as we start this year. And then as far as a leadership team, Pastor Randy, of course, is in charge of facilities and security, outreach, small groups, and men's ministry. And I'm in charge, I do more of the executive finance side of things, human resources, small groups, and women's ministry. And of course, Pastor Jeremy helps Pastor Randy with men's ministry, and Beth helps me with women's ministry. And then Amy does everything else. So just wanted you to make aware, and Gene's not on the leadership team, but he does help. He's kind of coordinating the audio visual. So there's some of you he'll probably be talking to you about helping with teardown and the AV team and things like that. So he's working with Pastor Randy on that. Under me, Giselle is the church service coordinator, and she makes sure that we have, you know, volunteers in place. She's also stepped into the role as a prayer team leader, which I'm really excited about, and we're going to start the prayer team training next week. And now she's teaching in the church. So now you'll hear from myself, Pastor Randy, and Giselle, kind of in the circuit of teachers, and she does an awesome job. So, and under her is the church service volunteers. Emily has stepped in as the leader of Kingdom Kids. Yes, and Emily Jr. is helping her. And so anyone who's volunteering in Kingdom Kids comes under Emily. And you can be dual roles. You can do church service and over there. And then Pastor Jeremy and Beth are doing youth ministry now. And Pastor Jeremy has taken responsibility for the Kingdom Parents group. Pastor Randy and I used to be in charge of that, but we've transitioned that over to Pastor Jeremy. So he's in charge of the Kingdom Parents group that meets once a month here at the church. And the two of them are doing a youth ministry. And Jean and Victoria are assisting them. Yay, Jean and Victoria. So that's been really great. So this is a big change. Like, we've had a lot of changes and good things positioned in place for the year to come as we continue to grow. So I am so excited about our vision for this year. It's all about exalting Jesus. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I am so excited. I am so excited. I mean, he's just been talking to me about this. Like, this year is all about exalting. I mean, it's always about exalting Jesus. So we are going to exalt Jesus. Exalt him, exalt him, exalt him. I am so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So when he was telling, I'm like, Chloe, what's the message? And I was talking to Pastor Randy and Amy, and they were telling me stuff, which all comes in. Like, I'm like, well, what's the word for all that? And it was like exalting him. So, I mean, I'm going to be in the Gospels probably all year. We're going to be in red letters. I'm starting with the book of John, and you know, I'm hoping to spend a week on 10 weeks on 3 verses. I mean, it's just, we're going to milk that thing for everything it's got, but it's going to be all about Jesus, all about the gospel. Amen. 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 I'm just so excited. And so I'm so excited because I believe that this is, again, positioning us for revival. For greater revival, I believe that it's the prayer team coming in. I'm really excited about the prayer team. I'm expecting the miraculous to happen when our people pray. I absolutely believe for that. And I believe God's positioning us for a building. We are keeping our eyes open for a building because, I mean, this is wonderful, but we need a building because, God, there is so much more we need to be doing, and we need a building. We just need a building. So we're keeping our eyes open for that. And I'm just going to really encourage you to get on Facebook and start doing hashtag exalting Jesus. Like, you come up, like, we've been exalting a lot of stuff on Facebook and all other social media. But I would love us to get out there a couple times a week if you get on social media and start putting stuff up and hashtag exalting Jesus with it. And let's be a church that is exalting him, not circumstances, not political. I mean, I understand we need to know what's going on, but we need to be exalting Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. Amen? And so just hashtag exalting Jesus when you do social media posts, if it's about Jesus. Anyway, so I just am so excited. It's going to be exciting. So our guest speakers we have lined up for this year, Brian and Sue Nutman, are coming here March 21st. They'll be at Karis over the weekend, and they're going to spend Sunday here with us. And then we've got Brian Guerin coming April 16th and 17th. Now, he exalts Jesus. So Brian and Sue Nutman were coming because part of the reason was because they're very into the prophetic. So we had them for last year for the prophetic. But they'll be good speakers as well. So we have that position for this year. If you look at our Kingdom Life groups for 2021, the Kingdom Parents group is doing the 5 love languages of children. The Men and Women's Ministry are doing the book Unpunishable by Danny Silk. The Kingdom Life study group we're going to continue as a New Testament verse by verse. The Kingdom Foundations class, we're doing Spirit, Soul, and Body right now, and I believe we'll go into Believer's Authority after that. And then youth group is doing the foundations of Christian faith. The youth group is really great because, you know, we didn't know where to start because we're bringing all these children together to do youth group, and they've come from all different backgrounds. It's not like we've had them kindergarten through 5th grade and now they're moving into youth group, right? They're coming from all different backgrounds and all different understanding. So it was kind of like we needed to make sure that we had the foundations in place. So we had talked and decided to do discipleship evangelism to kind of see where they're at and kind of establish those DE lessons in them because they're very basic. But it was good because what's kind of been uncovered is where they don't understand and where they don't believe, and you know, which is good. That's important stuff to know. So Pastor Jeremy and Beth and Gina Victoria they've started to do some just real foundations on stuff about the Bible and the truth of things and what's the teacher going to do? Right, but what's the one you're doing tonight? Oh, the case for Christ by Lee Strobel, right? So just look, because someone who didn't believe in Christ, right, and now he believes in Christ. And so just putting some really good foundations in place for them as to what we believe, why we believe, and all of that. So they're doing a great job with that. So I'm excited about it. And then, too, of course, the chronological reading plan, if you're a part of that, is great. So the 2021 Men's Retreat is going to be August 26th through the 29th. And this year, the church is going to put in, kind of kick in some money to help reduce the expenses for the retreats. So the retreat cost for the men's retreat is only $150 this year. And so the $100 deposit will be due by April 30th, and the balance will be due by May 31st. But we really encourage you to go to the retreat, to be a part of that. So we're excited about that. So it's going to be back at Christ Mount. And then the women's retreat, we're going to go back to the place we were last year, the YMCA. We're not renting the same building because if we have more women, we won't have enough room. That we just fit nicely in there. So we are renting in the main facility, kind of like a hotel. We'll rent rooms and then have the dining hall and a room that we meet in for our meetings. But the cost, again, the church is going to kick in some money to help reduce the cost. So the cost is $225 this year instead of our normal $300. And $150 deposit is due by April 30th. And then the balance would be due by June 15th. And we'll have this up, have these announcements up. So we're excited about that. Notice that the retreat is earlier this year than it has been in the past. That's because Pastor Randy and I are going to go to a conference the end of October. So that's why we moved the date to earlier in the month. So it's going to be, I'm sorry, Nancy Lambert, it's not going to be on your birthday this year. We've always had the retreat on Nancy's birthday. So October 7th through 10th. So it's earlier in the month. We have our church picnic scheduled for September 19th. You can mark the date. And then we're going to be having another leadership retreat in November. So I'm going to have Pastor Randy come up and talk about, and Giselle is going to come up to talk about CityQuake, because of course we want to do outreach again this year. We didn't get to do that last year because of the COVID situation, and we really want to do that. But before I do that, I just want to, do anybody have any questions? Do you have any questions? I mean, I think again, for a year of COVID, I think we accomplished wonderful things in 2020. I think we really moved significantly and have a lot to be look back on and say, wow, this is great. Financially, we're in a great position. I believe that, you know, the Lord will open to us a building at when it's the appropriate time. But I think we're in really good shape. So, and we're excited about what God has for us. So Pastor Randy was going to come up and just talk about CityQuake. And Miss Giselle is going to come up because she's on fire.
Can you hear me? Okay. We didn't get it off the ground last year the way we had hoped because of just some things that we were dealing with concerning COVID, and not very many people you could talk to or who were willing at first. We did do some events, but this year we're really going to focus on getting out on the streets more, and hopefully things will open up more. I hear that some governors are even opening their states, so we're believing North Carolina is going to be wide open pretty soon, and more opportunity to talk with people and share the gospel. So we've been talking with Tom Rotolo about a possible CityQuake this year, and it would either be late in the year or beginning of 2022, because there are some things that have to come together for that to happen. But we're already starting to get a lot of interest of people who want to go out with us. So the 15th and the 20th, we are going to be out just getting together to begin working together in outreach and seeing how to approach strangers who you've never met before and open up a conversation and just begin talking and listening to their hearts so that you can see an opportunity and listen to Holy Spirit for an opportunity to share the gospel or some part of the gospel that they're in need of, because we know the world really needs Jesus right now. And so that's where we're headed this year. And as I said, for the first events, just to get to know each other and the way that we're going to operate with this, we're going to meet at South Point Mall. Because there should be a lot of people out, considering the first day, first event is going to be President's Day, so there will be a lot of sales. It'll draw a lot of people to the mall. And we'll meet up in the food court just to get together and to discuss things, and then we'll all go out in pairs of two. Normally two, three at the most. People feel confronted if you have more than that. Just a couple of people is all that's needed to strike up a conversation. People are more apt to converse with you in that way. And that's how the Lord sent them out, didn't he? Two by two. And there were reasons for that, and we'll discuss all those things at the outreach. But we're expecting to see more and more this year the manifestation of the glory of God in those situations where we see healing, we see deliverance, we see people coming to know the Lord, repenting and deciding for Jesus. So these are the things that we want to talk about. And we'll share more of that. If you can make one of the reason we're making the events on a Monday and a Saturday is because the people who are working during the week can't make the Monday events. There are some people who work Saturdays and can make the Monday events, and so we're having those Saturday events for those who can, and in this way, it'll be available for everyone. I was wondering, Maureen, could you get up here for a minute? Because I know Maureen has a testimony that she wanted to share with us, and I think this really goes along with what we're talking about, because it's empowering us and encouraging us to talk with everyone that we can about what we know about our Lord.
So many miracles are happening, you guys. So I wrote this down so I can stay focused. So last Sunday, my neighbor said that her daughter, who we'll call Jessica, was on edge, and her mother was thinking of bringing her to a hospital psych ward. So Jessica was adopted as a tiny 2-pound baby. She's now in her 30s. She was born with fetal alcohol syndrome, and she suffers from mental illness. In spite of all that, and the fact that her family are not really believers at all, Jessica loves Jesus, and she reads the Bible, and she says that she sees Jesus and the Holy Spirit all the time. So Jessica can see into the spiritual realm, both the good and the bad, and her family thinks, oh, that's just crazy, but I know that she is seeing. So her reading comprehension is somewhat limited, but when she reads the Bible, but still the word is penetrating, and she knows in a simple but profound way that she is loved by our God. So her mother told me that this was happening, and I said, can I pray for her? And the mom said, yes, I called to pray and find out how I could help, and she explained that she feels like she's constantly being raped. So I knew that she was raped years ago, and I asked her, could this be PTSD? And she said, no, she got over the rape long ago. She never thinks about it, but yet this ugly thing is constantly raping her over and over when she's at the store, when she's in a room, or wherever she goes. It's always on her and distracting her and leaving her with no peace. And this has been going on for years. And she said, although I've forgiven it, it won't go away. So I said, this is a spirit of rape. It's evil. It's not from God. It's good that you forgave the man that did this, but you don't forgive this spirit. You need to kick it out in the name of Jesus. So she got confused, and she said, how can I do that? It's very strong, and it attaches itself to me. So I said, you're not kicking it out on your own. Jesus is doing it along with the Holy Spirit, but he needs you to cooperate. He needs you to use your mouth to tell this thing to leave. So although she's a churchgoer and a believer, this was all news to her. So we talked for a long time, and I prayed scriptures over her that seemed to fit the situation. And I asked her to look up in her Bible 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I read it as she was, I prayed as she was reading, and I said, I cast down every vain imagination and lofty thing that is bothering Jessica and trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then I asked her to read it. And then I said, do you know what this means? And she said, no. And I said, do you know what a vain imagination or a lofty thing is? Thank you. I said, do you know what that means? And she said, she had no really ideas what these words meant. And so even though her comprehension and her vocabulary is somewhat limited, and I thought about it, like, who in today's world is walking around using words like vain imaginations and exalting? And so I thought, you know, I had to get through to her, just as we have to get through to everybody on a way that they can understand what the powerful words of the Bible mean and what we can do with them. So I said, well, this spirit of rape has no power over you. It's trying to make you think it does in your mind and in your imagination. And I said, a lofty thing is like a person who thinks that they're real high and mighty, like they're the Queen of England or something grand, when they are not at all. And I said, to exalt means to raise something up high. And so this spirit, which is powerless over you as a believer, is trying to raise itself above your God, and it's trying to make you believe or make you imagine that it is more powerful than Christ. Do you think this evil spirit has more power than God? I asked. No, of course not, she said, but I still don't know what to do about it. You mean I can just cast it out? Yes, you can, I said. Do you understand? No, not really, she said. So I needed an analogy to show her what was going on and the power she had through the finished work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in her. Do you know what it means to bring every thought into captivity to Christ? I asked. Do you know what captivity means? No, not really, she said. So I explained, something that is in captivity has been captured, sort of like catching a mouse in a trap. And I told her that the thoughts that this evil spirit was sending her need to be captured and sent to Jesus to deal with. It's almost like the spirit is like a mouse in your kitchen, I said. It's chewing holes in your cereal bags and cookie boxes. It's eating your food, and it's making a mess on your kitchen counter, leaving poop droppings all over the place. But in that same kitchen, in your house, and in you is a lion who is Jesus Christ. Now, do you think the lion who is your friend is afraid of this pesky, annoying mouse? Who do you think is more powerful, the lion or the mouse? The lion, she said. Okay, so the lion could definitely eat the mouse, no problem, I said. But he doesn't really need to eat the mouse when instead he wants you to simply capture it with a mouse trap. He wants you to capture this evil spirit like it is a little mouse and then just cast it down and imagine putting it in a trap where it can harm you. Do you think you could do that? Well, it won't be easy, but I'll try, she said. I reminded her of who she was to God, his precious little daughter, and that although it may not be easy, it's pretty simple to cast down vain imaginations and lofty things that come against all of us. We talked along these lines for about an hour, and I reminded her that God in Ephesians 3:20 tells us that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ever even ask or imagine. I texted her the two Bible passages we discussed, along with one of my favorite pictures of Jesus called the Divine Mercy picture, where Jesus is pointing to his heart, and out of it pours two rays of light, one red and one white, representing his love and his mercy. I reminded her to keep her eyes on Jesus, not on the evil spirit, and to read the passages and look at that picture if she needed to remind her when she's under attack. The next day, Jessica called me, sounding so much happier. The thing is gone, she said, and it is not coming back. Isn't that awesome? What happened? I asked. I captured it and put it in a trap, she said. And then I gave the keys to the trap to Jesus. It's locked up now, and it can never harm me again. We praised the Lord together, both of us thrilled and awed at how exceedingly abundantly great our God is. Then Jessica said something that was a revelation to me. Jessica's childlike innocence sometimes gives her a wisdom that Jesus described in Luke 10 as hidden from the wise and prudent. God has the keys, she said, but people just aren't using them. Well, if this thing tries to come back, just call me and we'll pray together, I said. Oh, it's not coming back, she said confidently. How can it when it's captured, locked up, and Jesus holds the keys?
Okay. That's what we're talking about. She didn't have to have a conversation with the thing. She didn't have to argue with it to come out. All she did was speak truth, and Jessica received it, and she acted upon it. And this is what we can see in our lives as we minister to people, and we get used to just being in conversation with them and finding where they're at, where their heart is at, and then bringing Jesus in the midst of it. You see how easy this was. She was relying on Holy Spirit to guide her and lead her and just the right things to say in these conversations. We're going to see much more this year. We're excited.
Amen. Amen. Do you want to share, Giselle?
Okay, so this past week, I went to a seminar. It was in Dallas, Texas, and it was by the John G. Lake Ministries. It was called Divine... He has a training called Divine Healing Technicians. And what that is John G. Lake, he taught people how to heal, and he called them Divine Healing Technicians. And so, and through a series of prophecies and everything, this guy, Curry Blake, is now, that mantle has kind of been passed to him. And so I went to the training this weekend, and it was really good because it's right in line with what Randy is trying to do. And it's, let me read the scripture, which is Matthew 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And it says, and lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. And then 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so what they were teaching us is they were saying, see, Jesus, right, he had all authority. And in that authority, he talked to us and he sent us out. He said, you go out and teach the nations what I taught you. And so this is, and in this vein, this is what they do. They go out, right, and they teach or they do what Jesus did, right? They have the authority now to go out and go in Jesus' stead. And do what Jesus did, because Jesus is not here. Jesus is up with the Father. He said, I'm going to the Father. So now I'm sending you to go out and do the things you saw me do. And so they take this thing really serious, right? They feel like this is a mandate that was passed down from Jesus to the apostles. The apostles passed it down to their disciples, and it's been trickling down through the ages down to us. This is what we've been called to. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a pastor, a teacher, right? You could be a mom. You don't have to be anything special. It's just that we have this mandate to if we see the other thing I like about them is they saw sickness and disease as an injustice, right? It was already paid for. Jesus already takes care of it. So therefore, it's an intruder. It has no right to people. It has no right to anyone. It has no right to anyone. And so they see it as an injustice. So they see if you go out into the world and you see somebody sick or you see somebody, you know, wheelchair or whatever, that thing is an injustice. It has no right to these people. And that's how they see things. They see healing as warfare against the enemy. And they go out and they feel like they're policemen to protect it and to kind of arrest this thing. And so that's also the eyes that we should have. We should know that, wait a minute, that person doesn't need to be like that. Why? Because God has already paid for it. It doesn't have to be. So you go out and you just set the people free, right? You go out, you see somebody, walk somebody in a wheelchair, you see somebody in crutches, pray for them, get them set free. Right now that they're free, you could speak to them about the gospel. You could talk to them about Jesus. So this is the kind of thing that they were talking about. They was teaching us over the weekend, over the last few days. And this is what John G. Lake actually taught his people. Because y'all all heard about the healing rooms, right? He would have people come to the healing rooms and they would pray for the sick. And there was no way that people were going to, as far as John G. Lake was concerned, healing was bought and paid for. And he would pray until he saw people healed. Until it was done. So, and I just wanted to, I was telling Melissa about it when we met for lunch because I was just so excited about this thing, you know, because I really feel like the only reason why we don't see it is because we're not doing it. if you do it, you'll see it, right? And they had this thing they said, it's easier to act your way into believing than it is to believe your way into acting. Right? It's easier to do that. If you start acting on what you know, you'll start seeing what you know to be true. But if you keep believing, but never acting, you will never see it. You will never see it. And I used to tell the Lord that I want to see miracles. I want to see blind eyes open. I want to see ears, see ears pop open. But the Lord is like, you're not going to see it until you do it. You have to get out and you have to do it. You have to be about his business. So I just want to encourage you. I really got excited about it being in that training. And I just want to encourage you and let you know that this is a good thing. This is what we're called to. Everyone is called to this. It's not for a select few. It's for every believer. He said the believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The minute you're born again, you have this authority to do it. You don't have to wait for any special anointing. You don't have to wait for any, training. He said you lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I'm just going to encourage you what Randy's talking about with the city quake. You know, if you want to see this kind of thing happen, we have to get out and just be about it and do it. Just do it.
So we're excited because I know this year we're going to be able to get outside the four walls and just start and believing in testimonies. And two, as you do this, let's have testimonies. The thing is, too, is remember, it's just God told us to do it, so we just do it. And even if you don't see a manifestation, you just keep doing and you keep doing and you keep doing, because eventually it's almost like it's a pipe that's kind of got clogs in it. And if you just keep doing and doing and doing, it flushes out. And then all of a sudden you start seeing the manifestations. Many people I know who have prayed for people have said that was their experience. You just have to do it. And we just do it and we trust it. And eventually we'll see the miracles. Amen. Amen. So that's going to be a big part of this year as well. So any questions, anything? Two announcements. Well, we're going to do communion. Okay, we'll do communion first. So yes, Maureen. Praise God. Yes, praise God. Lydia had been diagnosed with COVID, and the symptoms would go away, but then come back and go away and come back. And so Pastor Randy said, eat communion. So. Go ahead and pass out communion while Andy gives a short testimony.
Okay, hey y'all. Okay, yeah, this is going to be encouraging because I know it is, because it was very, very, very encouraging to me. You know, I think Andrew Womack says the gospel is also translated as nearly too good to be true news, because I think in the Old Testament, it was barely ever used. Nobody really said anything about the Old Testament because it was about the law, and it was about you had to do all these right things, and then if you got that in order, then you were going to be blessed, and you were going to have good things were going to happen to you. If you didn't, you were cursed. It was kind of like based on your performance, what things seemed like. But I'm going to try to summarize this. But I probably knew God loved me. Like when I was little, it seems like a lot of kids kind of get early, like the Jesus loves me song, and you get that Jesus loves you. And then sometimes in different religious circles, you've been taught things like, well, Jesus loves you, but you got to do this. And in the world, we're taught it's been taught, I love you when and because and if. I love you when you do the dishes. I love you when you cook a good meal. And I love you because you bought me a nice house. So for me, when I went to Caris Bible College and I had a revelation of the identity in Christ, Jesus and God's love for me, it was just such a great revelation. I was so thankful for it. And then I was struggling with some things, and I got to a point where I was listening to Arthur Menchus, and he taught a lot about the love of God. And it was probably the most one. This is years back. This is before I came to this church, but it was just a beautiful message, and it really pulled my heart. And I was like, wow, this is what it's all about. And I knew all that energy had.